Once again, it's our privilege to be together this afternoon. We encourage you to open your Bible. Feel free to make whatever notes you might like to make as we study together. And if you hear something that you believe to be an error, I hope that you'd let me know about that, that I might make the proper correction. I want to talk to you for just a few moments about what we learn about baptism from Acts chapter 8. The Bible has a lot to say about baptism. And it'd make a good study to just note what our Lord had to say about baptism, what the epistles teach about baptism, or to even examine the book of Acts in its entirety and learn all we can about baptism. But I believe that there's much to be learned about baptism just from one chapter within the book of Acts, and that is Acts the 8th chapter, if you'll open your Bible there. In Acts chapter 8, we read of the spread of the gospel. Prior to this, we read where the gospel was in Jerusalem as a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and that caused the disciples to be dispersed. According to verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Down at verse 26, we read where the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. As we read of the work of Philip in Samaria and with the man of Ethiopia, we learn many valuable lessons in regard to baptism. The first thing I observe is that preaching Christ comes before baptism. Notice that before those in Samaria were baptized, and before the man of Ethiopia was baptized, there was the preaching of Christ that took place. In Acts 8, in verse 5, we read where Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And then in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, what did Philip preach when he preached Christ in Samaria? What did he preach to the man of Ethiopia when he preached Jesus? Verse 12 gives us some commentary or insight into what it means to preach Christ. The Bible says, But when they believed Philip preaching, what was he preaching when he preached Christ Jesus? The things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized both men and women. I learned from that what's involved in preaching Christ. that preaching Christ involves preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. To preach the things concerning the kingdom of God would involve preaching the things concerning the church. For the church and the kingdom go together. They're one and the same. In Matthew 16, 18, and 19, Jesus promised, I will build my church, and told Peter, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. And so to preach the things concerning the kingdom of God is to preach concerning the church of our Lord. But also he preached the name of Jesus Christ. To preach the name of Christ involves preaching concerning the power or the authority of Christ. We read in Acts chapter 4 where the apostles were set in the midst of the council and asked this question, as recorded in verse 7, by what power or by what name have you done this? And so the name suggests the power of. To do something in the name of is by power of. And so when Philip preached the name of Jesus Christ, he preached the power of Christ. He preached the authority of Christ. And so I need to be impressed with the fact that Christ has all power or all authority in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28 and in verse 18. And evidently, when he preached Christ Jesus, he preached about baptism. For notice, the Bible says, when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, what took place? They were baptized, both men and women. And then, as he preached unto the man of Ethiopia Jesus in Acts 8:35, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What would prompt him to ask that kind of question if preaching Christ did not include preaching baptism? You see, preaching Christ involves preaching concerning the kingdom or the church, preaching the name of Christ, and preaching about the need to be baptized. And so what do I learn about baptism from Acts 8? One thing I learned is that preaching Christ comes before being baptized. I need to be taught about the church. I need to know about the authority of Christ. And I need to know some things the Bible teaches about baptism before I'm baptized. But then the second thing I learn about baptism from Acts chapter 8, I learned that baptism is for those who believe. Notice who is baptized in verse 12. Notice when they were baptized. When they believe, Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. When were they baptized? The Bible says when they believed. When they believed the preaching that was done by Philip. Remember how the Lord commissioned his apostles to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? And then he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 15, 16. And so baptism is for those who believe. In Acts 8, 36, remember the question that was asked, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It would do me no good to be baptized if I don't believe with all my heart. You see, baptism avails nothing where there is not genuine faith in the heart of the person that's being baptized. Baptism is for those who believe. But also I learned from Acts 8 that men and women are subjects of baptism. There are those who would try to make an infant the subject of baptism. But notice who is baptized in Acts chapter 8. Verse 12 says they were baptized. What's the rest of that? Both men and women. Infants are not fit candidates to be baptized. Notice that they cannot meet the prerequisites or the requirements that come before being baptized. They don't have faith. And so it couldn't be said, when they believed, preaching concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Christ, they were baptized. They are incapable of repentance. They have nothing to repent of. And yet, repentance comes before baptism. As Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. And they have no sins to repent of which they're guilty. For the Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. They cannot make this confession. They cannot say, as the man of Ethiopia, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have you ever heard a little baby make that confession? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so a little infant is not a subject of baptism. Men and women are subjects of baptism. But furthermore, I learn about baptism from Acts 8 that the element of baptism is water. Notice in Acts 8 and in verse 36 that as Philip and the man of Ethiopia went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And in verse 38, upon the confession of the man of Ethiopia, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And when they were come up out of the water, verse 39. And so we learn the element of baptism by this example of the man of Ethiopia that was baptized. The element is water. But also I learn from Acts 8 that a confession is to be made before baptism. Now, a lot of people have been made to believe that before you become a Christian, that you confess your sins. But notice in this example that we have, the confession that was made, according to verse 37, was not a confession of sins, but a confession of his faith. When he was asked, or told, rather, "If thou believest with all thine heart thou mayest," and he answered and said, what did he say? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." When you're baptized, that's the same confession you'll make. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's the confession that Peter made, remember, in the book of Matthew chapter 16, 18, and 19, when the disciples were asked, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And then he asked the disciples personally, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." In Matthew chapter 10, and in verse 32, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." And so this confession is a confession of Christ, and it's a confession that's made before men. It's a public confession. And the Lord promised that if we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father which is in heaven. Paul taught in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that with the heart, and this is the Bible heart, by the way, up here, not the blood pumps in the chest, but the Bible heart, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And so a confession is made before baptism, a confession of one's faith. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." But notice another thing we learn about baptism. We learn from Acts chapter 8 that baptism is an immersion in water. It's not just a sprinkling or a pouring of a little water over a person, but it's an immersion of the whole person in water. Notice the demonstration in Acts 8, 38. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. He baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water. And so Bible baptism requires a coming unto the water, going down into the water, the baptism taking place. That's an immersion. The word baptized simply means immersed. And then coming up out of the water. And that's what will take place when you're baptized. We'll go down into the water. You'll be baptized. And then we'll come up out of the water. The Bible teaches in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, that baptism is a burial and also a planting in verse 5. We are buried with him by baptism. We have been planted together in the likeness of his death. Just as you plant seed, you cover that, you bury it. That's the way it is in baptism. There is a planting that takes place, a burial that occurs. And that same word, buried, is also used by Paul in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, where he writes, "buried with him in baptism." And so we've learned several things about baptism, haven't we, from Acts chapter 8. But let me suggest to you one other thing, and our study will be concluded, and that is the fact that baptism is accompanied by great joy. In both instances, we find where there was great joy. Notice in Acts chapter 8 and in verse 8 how there was great joy in that city. In the city of Samaria, there was great joy because Christ was preached and the people gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Also, there was great joy that took place on the part of the man of Ethiopia. Notice in verse 39 that as they were come up out of the water, how the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. What are some things that would cause one to have great joy and go on his way rejoicing after being baptized? Well, one thing is realizing that you now have the remission of your sins. Remember in Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Why? For the remission of sins. And so your sins are forgiven. They are washed away by the blood of Christ. They are to be remembered no more. That would cause you to have great joy. You can also have great joy because you are now in Christ, as you're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Realizing that's where salvation is, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. That's where redemption is found, Romans 3 and verse 24. That's where all spiritual blessings are located, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. That's where the promise of life is, 2 Timothy 1 and in verse 1. Knowing that you are now in Christ brings great joy. But also it would bring great joy to recognize that now you have the right to pray. In John chapter 9 and in verse 31, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. To know that you can pray to God with confidence that God hears your prayer and grants your request as you meet his conditions of acceptable prayer. We learned much about baptism from Acts chapter 8. We learned that baptism was preceded by Christ being preached, that baptism is for those who believe, that men and women are subjects of baptism, that the element of baptism is water, that a confession is made before one is baptized, that the action of baptism is immersion, and that baptism is accompanied by great joy. There's no finer time to obey the gospel and to be baptized than when one has just learned about it. Notice when these were baptized. It was the same occasion in which they had heard the word. Christ had just been preached. They had just been taught. And they gave heed unto those things which were spoken. There are some who would try to tell you that baptism is not important. But if that be the case, why did the eunuch command the chariot to stand still? And they go down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. A failure to learn these lessons before being baptized has resulted in some folks being unscripturally baptized. There may be some who have been baptized, but Christ wasn't preached. They had not been taught about the kingdom of God. They had not learned properly about the authority of Christ before they were baptized. It may be they didn't make the proper confession before they were baptized. They didn't make the confession, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," but made some other confession. It may be that instead of being baptized men and women, they were baptized as an infant. It may be that instead of being immersed in water, they had a little water sprinkled or poured over them, and that was called baptism. And so we need to be thankful that God has provided these lessons for us in this chapter, and that as we're able to read and to study, we can learn the truth in regard to baptism. We'd like to give you an opportunity this afternoon to be baptized. You've heard the word. Christ has been preached. Do you believe? Are you willing to repent of your sins, to confess with your mouth, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God"? We'll be happy to baptize you this afternoon into Christ and His church for the remission of your sins. And you can go on your way rejoicing just like the man of Ethiopia did. Maybe you've already been baptized, but you've not been faithful. In this same chapter, we learn that a man, after he was baptized, became unfaithful. There was sin in his life. His name is Simon. Remember reading about him in Acts 8:13 when Simon himself believed and he was baptized. And he was told that he would perish, that he was in the bond of iniquity, and the gall of bitterness. And he was told, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And his desire was that the apostles would pray to the Lord for him. And the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, there may be some who have desire to be baptized, have intentions of doing that, but think that, you know, I'm going to make mistakes. I may just mess up. I don't know if I can hold out. But this shows that after a person is baptized, when mistakes are made and sins are committed, that God has provided for that. He's given us opportunity to repent of that and to ask for His forgiveness in prayer. And so, if you desire to be baptized or if you have need of repentance and prayer, we'd be happy to assist you in that process if you'll come to the front as together we stand and sing.